Hallelujah. Our Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. And indeed, we're going to mark this occasion looking at Mark, the gospel, his account of the baptism of our Lord in the Jordan River, especially the three verses that describe it. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Today's scripture. And in Jesus' name, again, I do point you to the insert in the bulletin. Take it home if you haven't had time to read it before worship, even during worship. I do want, not only for 8:30, also 11, of a growing awareness of the flow of our worship week by week, because frankly, we hope you're here week by week, right? That there's a rhythm to your life of corporate bodily worship with the body of Christ. And we're changing seasons here. The Epiphany season. Epiphany again means shining forth, and this season, every year, is filled with gospel readings emphasizing who Jesus is and what he did and does. His light of himself and salvation shining forth. It'll climax when he did it literally on the mountain of transfiguration, February 11th, right? I think it is, yes. But even here, it starts with his baptism. And that's why this first Sunday after the Epiphany is always titled "The Baptism of Our Lord." Not on the insert, but in the sermon notes, I added something additional. You may know we have a three-year cycle of readings, and each year we hear mostly from one of the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, since the new year started in December. We've been in Mark mostly. Mark is the shortest gospel, so therefore we have to supplement some of our gospel readings with the Gospel of John this year. But since Mark is actually also the shortest gospel, a lot of his accounts of events, which may be in Matthew or Luke or even in John, are also shorter. Not as much detail. Today, I ask, as the sermon title, why was Jesus baptized? And you have probably heard that question posed and answered by pastors and teachers. There's not much here in the Gospel of Mark, just three short verses. Now, we do get the essence. Jesus came to the Jordan River, was baptized. All three persons of the Trinity are manifest. You notice that? The Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The Spirit appears in the form of a dove, and Jesus himself is the Son, the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make an appearance, literally. But what is happening here is as magnificent and important. This is the public start of Jesus' three-year ministry visible amongst us. We know from the Gospel of Luke that he had just turned 30. That was the age one could be considered a rabbi and start teaching publicly, And so he begins with this baptism. This is the start of his public ministry. But there's more. Even at his baptism, he's identified both who he is and what he would do. So for a sermon outline today, I share some other scriptures to answer. Why was Jesus baptized? If you go to the Gospel of John, it doesn't have an account of the actual baptism like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we do hear John the Baptizer, who was there, talk about it and what it means. John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So at this time, John was identifying Jesus and his work and what he would do. He's the Lamb. What does the Lamb do? Dies. A sacrifice. Indeed, to take away the sin of the world. John, I believe, knew that better than anyone, except for maybe the mother of our Lord. So many others had to catch up and learn. John knew his purpose is to suffer and die for our sins. That may be why John got confused when he was in prison, saying, "Jesus, when are you going to the cross, right? And rising from the dead." And he points him out here, right? Right at the river, the Jordan River. John goes on to say, "I myself did not know him," which is interesting. They were related by blood, we know, because their mothers were. Mary and Elizabeth were kinswomen. Cousins of some sort, maybe. He may have known who Jesus was as his cousin, perhaps. But until the baptism, even John himself didn't have full confirmation of this other identification. He says, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove. It remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" This is God in the flesh. My cousin, truly human, yes, who would die, is also God. And literally here is the water is poured on him, anointed. That's the title Messiah in Hebrew or Christ in Greek. He is God and man, the one appointed. And that's why this is such a huge event. This is why Jesus was baptized to mark that and begin that work. But there are facets of that work still to be seen in Scripture, which you may know and which I use as today's outline. Matthew in his gospel records something no other gospel has. The initial conversation as Jesus came to the river. Matthew chapter 3, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" He does know Jesus is more than he. But Jesus answered, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." That is why Jesus was baptized, to actually start that atoning work for you and for me, fulfilling righteousness that God requires of each person here, and which you, I can't give him. Everything you do and I do, including the sermon, is stained with sin, unrighteousness. We need Jesus to be our substitute and to say, I will offer to God the righteousness he requires. That's why his father spoke, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. He is righteous, a lamb without spot or stain. 1 Peter chapter 1. Perfect. In your place and mine. Everything required of you by God, it's been done. And right at his baptism, Jesus shows that's what he was all about. People were being baptized. He was baptized. We actually had this at the end of the Christmas season. Last Sunday, we had the story from Luke chapter 2 of Mary and Joseph going to Jerusalem to offer the sacrifice and do the presentation of their firstborn son according to the law. Jesus, with his parents, was keeping the law, the ceremonial law of making that sacrifice. And even before that, Luke records 8 days old. He was circumcised. Keeping that law of the covenant as a newborn. We could maybe even say from conception onward. Through circumcision, presentation, baptism, the 3 years of his ministry, indeed to the cross and the grave, then risen from the dead, guaranteeing the payment has been made for you and for me. Publicly, at least, it all starts here with his baptism. And all that is wonderfully theological and historical. But dear friend, it is also personal, this story we hear today. Because the baptism of Jesus connects to your baptism. Your baptism connects you to the whole life of Jesus. That's why I forgot to check before this morning, but I think every year we hear Romans chapter 6. It is the definitive section where Paul says, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. You're connected in your baptism to the death of Christ. We were buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You're connected to his resurrection. Everything about Jesus is connected to you and you to him. In fact, there's a wonderful verse in Hebrews chapter 4 that says, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is connected totally to you, even taking your sin upon himself and with you in whatever you face and before the throne of God for your salvation and glory. In fact, it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we receive mercy and grace to help in time of need as we go forth. You're thinking, Jesus' baptism connects to me. My baptism connects to him. And he is with you always to the end of the age. I forgot in the 8:30 worship to take a little survey. We're going to do a real one next week, but informally, maybe with a show of hands, how many of you know the exact date of your baptism? You can, if you don't want a few, we got a few. We're going to ask you if you want to share it next week on a little form. I do too. Even if you don't, you can mark it on an annual day, and I'd recommend this day. I know the baptism of our Lord moves on the earthly calendar. It can be January 7th or all the way to the 13th. That's okay. But you can mark this day as a day when you're connected to Christ through those waters because of Him through the waters. I begin my devotions every morning saying, I have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and making a cross connected to Jesus. Then I say, I've told you this, four words that mean a lot to me, maybe not to you, and there's loaded meaning inside. I simply pray, Christ's faithfulness, my faithfulness. His is perfect. He proved it from here onward and still going, right? Mine imperfect, but because of His being perfected. Whether it's on this Sunday, your actual baptism date, every morning, celebrate the baptism of Jesus and yours, saying, I'm with Jesus. No, even better, and first, His saying, I'm with you. Amen.